Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the Mobile 5280 Studios, Weekend Geek Update Special Report. From the floor of Denver Comic Con, Smurf here with longtime friend, fellow podcaster, and you know what? We should have our own Explorers Club.
Or our own show.
I think we should have our own show. Because let's face it, you and I have seen it, we've done it, we've lived it, we know it all. To me, I have the man, the myth, the legend, the hardest working man in podcast today, Josh Hawks.
Yeah, I wish I could have that that title, because clearly I'm not the hardest working podcaster.
Why not?
Because I don't know. Words are failing me. That's why, probably, because words are failing me.
Words are failing me.
But no, it's we are here
at Denver Comic Con, and you have your compatriot, your sidekick, your Sancho. To your Don Quixote.
Your
Don Quixote, eh?
Come on, if there's anyone that's going to charge a windmill, it's going to be Josh. And true. If there's a Sancho out there, you are his rock.
Yep.
I guess so.
It is the man. It is Che.
Che. It's Che. Che here.
I won't call you your nickname.
Yeah, I won't call you your nickname either.
There's that right there. So from the floor of Denver Comic Con, it's Sunday. We're wrapping up. Things have gone all over the place, just like a con typically does. Now, Che, you were telling us you've already been in the Nathan Fillion panel. Which,
yeah.
I mean, okay, so there's two big major names for this con. Nathan Fillion and John Cusack.
Right.
The man. But I don't. The connection for the 80s is a bit stretched for Cusack.
Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit. Yeah. But I can't meet him.
Yeah.
Rule number one: never meet your heroes. And as much as I want to go and shake the man's hand and thank him for all of the wise words and the inspiration, I can't do it.
Well. I mean, why? I mean, just because of that?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't do it. I cannot bring myself to meeting my hero. Because if I do, what if he's bad? What if it's the first experience is a bad one, and then I'm just, like, disillusioned, just shattered for the rest of my life? No!
But have you not already had that experience through these years of convention groaning?
I have, and that is why the rule is in place. And it is firmly in place. But do I break my own rule for this opportunity?
It's your home show. I say yes.
I know not too many people are going to his table. So.
Really?
Yeah.
But I can understand why, because his photographs are $109, and his signatures, I think, close to about 60.
Wow. That's a lot.
Plus, he's wearing a cap, so.
And he is wearing a cap.
You can't even see him, man.
No, and as much as I want to, like, I get it, because, so, he's got the hat over, you can't see anything of his face, and he's kind of, you know, just reclusive in his corner. He's, like, one of the angsty characters that he has played over his, you know, sordid career. And I want to thank him, because not only, Gross Point Blank, by far his best film, but the identity film where he plays the all the different characters and all that is absolutely brilliant. 1301 with Samuel L. Jackson, where, you know, he's on the 13th floor of that haunted hotel. Great stuff, and he takes it so far out there, but I can't do it. Now, you went to Nathan Fillion, and Nathan Fillion I'd probably get into. Just because it's Nathan Fillion, I love Castle. He's going to be Wonder Man eventually, if that ever happens.
They kind of mentioned something about that.
Well, and
a little bit.
A little bit. I'm sure he's been teasing it. Because in the poster for Guardians 2, he's in the background as Simon Williams, which is Wonder Man's real name. He's a stuntman in the comics, so I don't know how they're going to work that in.
Wonder Man as in Wonder Woman? Wonder Man?
No, no. Wonder Man is Marvel's side. The funny thing about Wonder Man's history is originally he was an android. He's a clone of Vision.
Okay.
So it gets kind of weird at that point, and then later he becomes a being of pure energy. And this is all in the comics, so I don't know how they're going to do him in Guardians universe, if he's going to be energy or how they want to play that, but I'm curious to see how they do him as Wonder Man. But I don't have any Wonder Man, and we don't know that for sure, because they could be just screwing with us, because that's what he likes to do with cons.
He did pretty much say that he's looking for a job, so...
Why does he need to look for a job?
I know, he said he doesn't have. He's like, I'm currently still looking, but they did ask him, so are you going to be any superhero? I says, well, don't know yet. I'm still looking for a job. You know, that's all he said.
Wow.
That is kind of vague.
Yeah. It's very vague.
So unless he's just basically just making us think that, you know, and not saying it, I don't know.
All right. But. So what was it like being in the room? I mean, was the whole theater packed? Or?
Yeah, no, it was completely full. Everybody was... I couldn't even get a media seat. I was lucky just to get two rows back from the media.
Wow.
You know, and it was totally packed, and he was... he came out, everybody screamed like crazy. I couldn't basically not even hear when I got out. But he was funny as hell. He was hilarious.
Yeah, he was entertaining.
Jokes. Yeah, he was entertaining. He was just cracking jokes the whole time. And answering everybody's questions.
This is Serenity, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The captain of everything, they call him.
Okay.
Yeah.
They call him the captain of everything?
Yeah, the captain of everything.
There's probably a couple other captains that might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Shat might have a problem with that.
I think it's basically because he's done...
Okay. We have a public service announcement breaking overhead for Denver Comic Con. Nobody is listening.
And it's interrupting our podcast.
I don't even hear it.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah,
well, you don't hear it because you're not wearing headphones.
Yeah.
Everything's being amplified.
And I can like that. So, the captain of everything. Yeah. I think William Shatner might throw down on that one and give him a double karate chop.
Probably. A double karate chop.
Oh, that's Kirk's finishing move right there. Anytime Captain Kirk pulled out the double, it's over. Sure. It's like the people's elbow from The Rock. It's like the one back and forth for Hulk Hogan, you know? It is the finishing move for Captain Kirk.
The coming out of the sleeper hold.
Yeah, the
stomp and shake.
The ultimate warrior.
Yes.
God, we know way too much about wrestling.
is that such a bad thing?
Actually, I don't know.
There was something I saw recently online, and it really made me kind of think about things a little bit. It was from a professional wrestler that said, you all enjoyed wrestling when you didn't know the ins and outs.
Right.
And once the shine had been taken off, right? Go back to that, and you'll find that you enjoy wrestling again.
Well, and it's weird because Kane is running for mayor.
Is that why he's not on TV right now?
Yeah, he is officially retired, and he is running for mayor of his small town. I forget where it was, but he's now following the steps of Jesse the Body Ventura, Hulk Hogan, Sonny Bono.
Huh.
Not that he's a wrestler. Did Sonny Bono wrestle ever?
I don't think he wrestled. I think
talking about Sonny and Cher?
Yes!
He wrestled?
Did some like publicity stunt with him talking smack to a wrestler at some point.
I want to say it was before WrestleMania.
It was before WrestleMania. Okay.
Like back in the day, obviously.
Obviously back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Way back in the day. When he was alive and before he hit a tree.
When he was alive, yeah. Before yeah, exactly.
Well, you know how the trees in Colorado just kind of reach out and touch
jump it. Right yeah. out in front of you and just say, it works.
Have you got to experience anything from the show other than your table?
Some. I've stepped in on a few panels. Hung out with some of the artists, did some networking. I mean, I had a great interview with Dirk Ellis, who was Spider-Man, and he's done stunt work for a lot of movies. He actually did stunt work in the second 300 film.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, all right, so Dirk was a good podcast, and you can look forward to seeing that one coming up. But I don't know. I mean, this con has been weird this year.
Well, with the other event that was taking place on the front side of the convention center, where DCC has been since day one, and then on top of that, I believe, anyway, they flipped the show floor and rotated it.
Yes.
Which, on some half, is really good, because now it puts the artists at the front of the show, where artists should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that if you put vendors first, everybody's going to spend their money at the vendors and not have any money for the artists, which takes away completely from it being a comic con.
Now, you and I have been to Emerald City.
Yes.
And Emerald City has this timey-wimey, whimsy-womsy, you turn a corner, you don't know what you're going to get. You could get a publisher, you could get a retailer, you could get an artist and all of that. And I don't know if they're trying to emulate that, because the floor layout also has a very similar feel to Salt Lake Con, where it's broken up and the retailers are on both sides. But there seems to be a fair amount of real estate towards the celebrities.
Well, I think that, anyway, that they had a much bigger section this year.
That was one built frickin' Psylocke.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God.
Missed it.
Holy crap. That is the gorgeous woman of wrestling body on Psylocke over there.
Put Olivia Munn to shame, that's for
sure.
Dude,
oh, my God. Oh.
Oh, my. Che just got a look and just said, oh.
She's going up the stairs to our left, and I mean, we're talking about
she's
wrestling.
She's going up with her built boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Who's looking at us.
I think the boyfriend is smaller than her.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
I'm going to guess.
Oh, totally.
Oh my God.
Which is impressive.
Yeah, he knows we're looking at him.
Yeah. Oh, fuck you. She's wearing a Psylocke suit, dude.
She is gorgeous.
We are the least of your worries in about 10 minutes when you get to that retail
floor. We didn't even ask for a picture.
No, there's going to be geeks tripping over their tongues on that one. So, but there seems to be a lot of real estate that is dedicated to the celebrities.
You know, I can't. I've only went in there once.
And, well, and you get yelled at because you have your camera out,
right?
And they're asking you to holster that.
Well, this is what's crazy is that in years past, as long as you had your lens cap on, you were fine. So walking up, I put my lens cap on, and they go, "Nope. You gotta put that away," and I decided I didn't need to go in there at that time. I did later go into it and check it out just to see who was all in there.
Right. Well, I mean, they have like the whole animated Justice League here.
Yes.
Which I've met Kevin Conroy, which is I love talking to the man. And a couple years ago when he was here last time, I was asking. And this is before Arkham Knights had come out. And I'm like, so what's up with you retiring? And he's all pissed off. He's like, I don't know who's spreading this rumor about me retiring, but I'm going to kick their ass. Because he's like, I've been voicing this damn video game for 2 years. So he hadn't retired. And then you got Rosenbloom, who played Flash, and Lex Luthor. Fuck Smallville. I don't acknowledge him as Lex. He is the Flash. Pure, simple, done.
Okay.
If Smallville hadn't jerked me around for 7 years, I'd probably have a better feeling about it, but...
Actually, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know he played the Flash.
Yeah, he's the voice for the Flash.
Oh, the voice of the Flash.
Voice of the Flash.
Voice of the Flash.
You're right. Well, they didn't have the Flash on Smallville officially. They had...
Yeah, they had
I can't...
Barry.
The blur,
No.
The
Bart.
The blur was Bart.
They had Bart Allen on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who and made an appearance as Flash.
The Blur, right?
Wasn't no, the no. Blur was Supes.
What they called him to begin with.
Yeah. Was the red-blue blur, and then the Flash was Velocity or
Velocity, something like that. Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
I love that when we fight when we're trying to figure out storylines.
Hey, it's okay. This is what podcasts are.
Yeah.
Podcasts are just nerds and geeks talking about things and getting in little mini arguments and then kissing and making
up. No, you're wrong. But I don't acknowledge it. I mean, I recognize him as Lex. But I don't acknowledge it. To me, he is the Flash.
Okay.
When I read the Flash comic, he is the voice that comes through. Okay. Same thing with Batman. I mean, you cannot read a Batman comic and not think Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy. That's
absolutely
true. Yeah.
And then you have Phil LaMarr, who this is like his second time here, second or third.
at least second because I got a bumper from him in 2012.
Right. And I so did you watch any of the new Samurai Jack?
Not yet.
Oh, holy not yet shit. That yes. that my God, mind-blowing what they did with that show. When they brought it back.
He didn't talk a whole hell of a lot in the first run.
Not too much. He did a fair amount, but one, he not only does he voice Jack, but he also does a couple of other, you hear minor characters, and once you know what Phil sounds like, you can kind of pick him out.
Sure.
But he did a couple of other minor characters in the cartoon.
So really good, then.
Yes. Oh, my God.
See, at this point, I think I just have to go back and watch the entire run, just because I think it's been 15 years since I actually sat down and watched a Samurai Jack episode.
Yeah, I watched the entire, the first one, but yeah, I haven't seen anything of the second, and I want to see it so bad.
It is.
Because the first one was great.
It is stellar, no spoilers, but it is, it's a unique end for Jack. Mm. And they tie it all up, but I feel bad. I want to see more Jack. I really do. Hmm. But I would love to talk to Phil. Phil is right up there.
Oh, totally. Nice guy, too.
And then they got a Hot Girl and Wonder Woman and all that. So they're going to be doing a reunion of the animated Justice League. And our dream, of course, be permanently voice actors on a cartoon series.
I mean, that would be pretty damn cool to work on a project, put it to bed.
Yep.
And then, 10 years after Justice League came out to come back. And, yeah, you may have even worked with these people on other projects, but not all of them in the same room at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, how long, when you think about it, these guys probably haven't worked together on an animated film for a while, at least, all at the same time. I mean, right. Conroy has probably worked with a few of them more
here and there.
Yeah, more consistently than anyone else, just because he's Batman.
Right.
And if you don't have Batman in a cartoon,
What's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, fucking hell. No Batman ain't buying this. Okay,
I ain't going to watch this at all.
This is shit.
Hey, speaking of Batmans,
yeah.
Have you guys enjoyed and seen the love for Adam West Batman?
Yes.
That's been pretty magical.
It is magical, especially when Adam West passed away, which I'm glad they got this in there. And I was really remiss about the fact that he passed away. He did not look like he was ill health at all. Right. We've seen him read to kids here at Denver Comic Con. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the man was genuinely just a freaking machine. I honestly thought Newmar would pass away before him.
Right.
Or Julie Burt Newmar,
Ward.
Yeah, or Burt Ward. Because neither one of those individuals, I mean, say what you will, age catches us all. And neither one looks like in the best of health. Julie Newmar's being wheeled around. You know, and I'm like,
right,
oh, crap.
But when she was at the table, she was full of energy.
Oh, my God, yes.
And wearing the cat ears and just rocking it. And
yeah.
That was awesome to see.
It was funny. She's like, I won't sign any of the Catwoman stuff that was, like, suggestive in nature. Mm. And I was just like, all right, way to make a stand.
So you're not going to...
Way to keep it old-fashioned.
Yeah, way to keep it old-fashioned.
That and way to not have to sign 90% of everything people bring you.
Pretty much. But you know what? I almost cracked out my old McKenna's Gold video because she plays the Indian squaw in that, and she goes skinny dipping into the lake. And I'm like, let's bring up some of your past, shall we, Mr. Newmar? Because you are hot.
You know, from a distance, she was still pretty damn good looking.
She was still really good looking. I'm like, wow, you're a sexy lady.
But for people that are here this year, I haven't seen Rosenbaum yet or Conroy.
No.
I did see Brian Cummings.
How's he looking?
Awesome. He's not that old.
I guess he wouldn't be.
But, you know, Dr. Mindbender from the G.I. Joe days, he actually just recently moved here.
I did not know that.
He moved to Castle Rock. He will be shortly putting together voice actor training classes.
Wow.
They're going to be taking over a 2-Saturday, kind of ordeal.
What's the price tag on that chop, I wonder?
Expensive.
Yep, it is expensive.
What's expensive?
Well, you're talking to a bud tender and a guy that works in the healthcare industry, so $250 is expensive.
For per session or for the entire class?
I believe it's for the class.
Yeah, I think it's for the entire thing.
All right. Well, that's not bad. It's not horrible. But what is Mindbender Blender going to teach you?
Nice. Mind Blender.
What's Mind Blender going to teach you about voice acting? How many voices did Mind Blender do?
He's done Mind Blender, one of the Berenstain Bears.
Okay.
If not a few of them. He has a collage of characters behind him, most of which I don't know outside of the Berenstain Bears. And
I mean, it's not like...
But he did episodes of Love Boat back in the day. So, I mean, first and foremost, they're all actors.
Yes.
Right? So an actor will be able to tell you things...
It is the inside Lolo of acting. I mean, it's not Rob Paulsen.
No.
Who?
It's not even David Vincent, who brings a voice actor, coach, and director to his classes.
But still, you know, that is a unique opportunity. I would take that up. Even just for the experience, and I'm sure the guy's stories are tremendous.
Oh, I'm sure.
Are they still talking? Because I keep hearing stuff in my headphones.
Yeah. They're still talking.
They are.
Yeah.
They're dying. They're killing us.
There must be something happening.
Something's happening.
There's something going on.
There's a tornado warning. Yeah. That's Colorado. It's heading straight for us.
We're all in the basement of a building right now. I think we're okay.
3/4 of the world's geek population wiped out at some freak tornado in Colorado.
Okay, so we have to touch on it.
All right, we
have to touch on it.
All right.
The costuming weapons policy.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. And I'm not speaking on it in a negative way. But the events of Phoenix have definitely affected this show.
So my take on this is simple. When you're a child and you're told you can't do something, don't do this, it's bad for you. Don't do this because I don't want you to. Why? Because I said so. What's the first thing you do?
Do it.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
So when these restrictions and this mindset is applied, right away you're thinking, well, I'm going to show them. Now, as an adult, yes, you show common sense. But there are those other individuals that lack that certain cog of common sense and act like absolute rubes.
Yes.
Which is the reason for the enforcement. So it's this weird perpetual loop that they get stuck in. How many instances before the rule was put in place were talked about or touched on?
Here in Denver?
Yes.
To my knowledge, none. To my knowledge, this show has not had any issues whatsoever with any kind of real weaponry.
No.
Perhaps a baseball bat. Outside of that, there's, to my knowledge, been no weapons or instances where someone was threatened or hurt by anything costuming.
Yeah.
Please tell me if I'm wrong.
You're not.
Okay.
No, you're not wrong.
I thought it was kind of a weird move last year after the show to put that enforcement in. And then I thought, okay, well, it'll be good for the first day. But by Sunday, you know,
the wheels will come off.
The wheels will come off and we'll see prop guns everywhere. Not so much. No. They're sticking to their guns. Well, no pun intended.
No pun intended.
By some of the exit doors, there are piles
of guns.
Of prop guns and some other props that may not have been deemed as a sword or staff.
So the funny thing is, on Friday, they weren't as adhered to the rules as you would like. So come about noon, 1 o'clock, because of other tables involved in the con who are following the rules, get upset and raise a stink that we just saw someone walking by with a lightsaber or an airsoft gun, and we were informed that we can't bring in our wares. Because you have what happened with Ultra Sabers. And I've worked with these guys in the past. I've bought sabers from them. So at Phoenix Con, they get pissed off because they're informed that your product has to go into a bag. And you can't show your stuff. You can't show what you're selling. Even though you've paid for your table, we're not going to let you make your money because you have to put it in a bag. You can't display it. So Ultra Sabers gets pissed off, says, and walks out. Just outright leaves. So the same similar situation is going on here where people are pointing out where there's people walking around with the sabers with airsoft weapons. And then right at noon, 1 o'clock, DCC drops the hammer and starts confiscating weapons.
Wow.
So, and I understand, but okay. Either you do it at the onset.
Right.
Or not at all.
Right.
And I get it. Okay, you got to backpedal a little bit. Going forward, okay, this is what we need to do. But you just don't do, like, this witch hunt that ensued. Because this poor kid who got in earlier in the day with just, like, this, you know, little pop gun, comes back from lunch trying to get in. And they're like, no, we need to confiscate your gun. Like, oh, shit.
Now, this is actually an interesting question. You guys are all here as Colorado Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Those are technically
guns.
A projectile. Not, they don't have a projectile, but if we're following the canon, no pun there either. They are guns of some kind.
Yeah. No, they're not. They are scientific instruments.
Good answer. Good answer. I like that one.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Good comment.
Points. Points are awarded. That's perfect.
And I feel bad because Umbrella Corps, which we thought was out, we thought they were done. They're over there with, like, bananas.
Oh, yes, yes.
And hey, that's one way to compensate.
And a horn. And you got the one guy that's sitting on the corner of the booth, and he just keeps going, banana! And that's all you keep hearing out of that gas mask, and I'm just rolling every time. That. So Red, I come in because I had a banana for breakfast. She's like, oh, my God. So she goes over there with an armed banana to face off against Umbrella Corps, and she's all like, pew, pew, pew. Like, oh, my God, that is just absolutely brilliant. And that is just that Elastigirl, Nicole from Sci-Fi Speed Dating.
Ah, yes.
God, she's like a very tone. She's a great Alaska girl. She's in the white costume before Ultimates in the later in the show comes around. Anyway,
have you done Sci-Fi Speed Dating before?
I have not. Even though
you done speed dating before?
No, I have not. Even though I'm now single and I don't even know if I want to put my foot in that weird pool.
Shane,
you did it, didn't you?
I have. I've done it a couple few times, and it's for me because I'm a podcaster and I don't have a face for TV. It is kind of a futile exercise. In trying to appease people, but it's an awesome exercise in learning how to introduce yourself up to including 22, 25 times.
And it is all about repetition. It is knowing your strengths and leading with them.
Yes.
Versus,
well, I do this for a living. And
well, put on my glasses here and
nutty professoring it. Through the entire conversation.
No, but it was cool to challenge myself to introduce myself 22 times differently 22 times.
Oh, you did it differently?
As differently as I possibly could. Yeah.
Wow. See, because if I were to do it, I'd probably just stick to canon.
Okay.
And if someone piqued my interest enough, I might throw a curve. But other than that, I'm just going to probably stick to the same routine. If it hits, awesome. Right. If it misses,
that's awesome too.
That's awesome.
Because you know in 3 minutes you're going to be talking to somebody else.
Exactly. Now, the law of averages, be it as it may, I don't know if I'm that lucky.
The law of averages tells us that we should, all three of us, should find our better half at a Comic-Con or pop culture convention because of the number of them that we go to.
Yes.
Versus the number of available females that come to these things.
It's true. So eHarmony needs to set up a booth here is what you're saying.
Possibly.
That's a good idea.
I can't speak for the two of you, but I've been coming to conventions hard since, well, that yeah. Sounded weird too.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
I've been coming to conventions hardcore for 5 years.
That sounded worse.
Whatever. But law of averages says I should have at least met somebody at this point.
Well, you've had some midnight trisses. You've had some cross lovership going on there.
There's been some interest and whatnot, but there hasn't been You know, it
hasn't been a solid connection.
No. And it's funny because a lot of my friends that don't attend these things are always like, oh, you'll find some geek girl at one of these things. And I'm like, you know, that's not as easy as you think it is.
No, it's not.
Because most of the good-looking ones are taken.
Well, yeah, the good-looking ones are latched onto by, like, muscles that just walked up with Psylocke, you know? Yeah. They're like, she's into it, I'm not. So I remember one con, and she was hot girl, and she was ravishing. I mean, she was absolutely breathtaking. And I'm like, I want a picture with her, but then the boyfriend jumps into the picture. I'm like, I don't want a picture with you, hot man. I want a picture with her. And, yeah, he's, like, right on top of me. And I'm like, Jesus, dude. Red's teasing me with cookies.
Cookies.
Giggity.
Giggity. So I don't know if love can make a connection at a con.
I think it's about as good of a chance as you have at a bar, in all reality.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, instead of drinking in alcohol, we're all drinking in geekdom.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. I get it, but ear hurts. I would figure at this point something would happen if it's gonna. But I'm also impatient.
And it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of patience involved with this. Because for every one of us, there's still like seven of us behind us. For the one hot chick that's wandering around.
And that was my experience with the sci-fi speed dating that I've done it, is that argument's sake, there's three really awesome chicks that everybody wants to talk to. Mm-hmm. So there's 25 dudes that put all their phone numbers on two girls' sheets, and nobody else gets any kind of love.
Right.
You know, and then, I mean, that's kind of how it is in life, too, I guess. But the averages don't work out for you, I think, either way.
No.
Unless you look like Smurf.
I don't know about all that. Now, what out of all of the cons that we've attended, what is the best event that a con had? They're like, you know what? That's a good fucking idea. I like that idea.
Go ahead, Che.
Che's got an idea. Look at that. That's a hardcore.
I'm trying to figure out.
That's an idea. No.
That's a Fred G. Sanford idea right there if I've ever seen one.
What have they had?
I don't know.
They had quite a few stuff. But.
I don't know. I in Philadelphia, the Great Philadelphia Comic Con.
All right.
The celebrity party, Saturday night party, is combined with the staff party.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I like it because you are all staff. You are attendees.
Mm-hmm.
So the dink-dink celebrities are more open to party. I sang karaoke with Bing Crosby's granddaughter.
That would be amazing.
That was awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool. Nice.
You know, I got to watch the voice of Yoda, Tom Kane.
I was going to say Frank Oz?
Not Frank Oz, but Tom Kane sing Rock Lobster while he was intoxicated.
From B-52s?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, that'd be awesome.
I mean, and it was just cool to have that opportunity to not, you know, party, chit-chat, and everything else, and there was no pressure.
But he didn't do it in the Yoda voice?
No.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been great.
I mean, and I liked Starfest's idea that they had a few years ago where they had, like, the different satellite tables set up and they had all the stars, like, rotate and come and sit and hang out for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and then they'd be like, okay, getting up and going.
It was like an extended press junket.
Yeah. And that one was actually really cool. I did like the press junket that they had for Salt Lake Con a couple years ago where they had all the celebrities come out on stage. And they did, like, this whole big introduction. And then all the celebrities came off stage and all had tables in front of the stage. So that all the press could go up and ask all the questions, get everything out of the way so that they weren't bothered or anything else like that. You had about, like, 10, 15 minutes, so you could make it a decent sound bite. And I got to do Herschel, who, of course, was just here. And then I go to Salt Lake, and he's there. And, you know, we're talking about what we were on the porch smoking cigars later, and he's like, oh, yeah, how you been? But to be acknowledged and recognized, but to have that that ability for the press to actually finally just talk is great. It's an awesome idea.
I love it. I also have an idea of forcing Neil Adams to be my friend.
Do you really want Neil Adams as your friend?
Secretly? No. But because he's just so grumpy and he is kind of fun to talk to, I have been forcing my friendship upon him for the past 2 years.
Does he remember you when he sees you?
He did last year.
Wow.
He did last year.
He doesn't even remember Mike Grail, who he has spent years working with in the industry.
Well, he remembers the fact that I came by his table 6 times at 6 different shows last year and spent 10 minutes at his table every single day forcing him to talk to me.
I have tried multiple times. I'm getting molested over here. I have tried multiple times to talk to Neil. Every time I have spoken with Neil, it has always been a weird, disjointed conversation. And you never know which Neil you're going to get because of whatever the last person did to him.
Yep.
You have to deal with.
Yes.
And the first time I met Neil, he hadn't turned into the con enthusiast that he is today. And he had just started breaking into it. And I'm like so excited to meet him. And he was a douchebag. And I'm like, seriously? All of these years, I've idolized you, and I meet, again, part of the rule.
Yes.
Never meet your heroes, because that moment just, I crumbled like a sandcastle. Carrie was with me, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, she's seriously trying to console me at this point, and I'm just like, well, that was disappointing, right. You know? And I'm like, hold me.
My insides.
My insides have been Cuisinart. Shit.
But no, I mean, he's fun to talk to because, like you said, you don't know who you're going to get, and he's always grumpy. So
he is an angry old man.
So last year, San Diego Comic-Con, day 4, Francis and I, a.k.a. the other guy.
The other guy.
We had been at his table 5-10 minutes every single day. The last day, the last thing he says to us, next time I see you guys, bring some fucking money.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I was like, I don't want to buy anything you have, Neil. I just want to talk to you.
That is probably the best answer you can ever give, Neil. Because when he was here last year for Colorado Springs Comic Con, he had booth babes. Let me introduce you to Neil Adams. And they got like his portfolio or his artwork. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Neil, everybody knows who you are. You go to almost every con.
Yes.
Seriously?
He does like to play that he doesn't remember what shows he's been at, though.
He does. And I don't know if it's just because Alzheimer's is setting in or he's that neurotic or dementia.
But then you get Joel, his son, who's like super friendly.
Yes. Well, in fact, the third time I met Neil, I had him sign my Batman Black and White. And this put Neil in a good mood. Because he's all like, do you have the Man-Bat Black and White? Because that's his son's sculpt. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And he's like, well, my son's down the way and to the left. And I'm like, seriously considering, okay, I'll go get my Man-Bat Black and White and have him sign it and all that. Because, all right, but I mean, Neil actually got chatty. I mean, it's the chattiest I've ever freaking seen him. But again, the money put him in the right mood.
Yes, which is why he told me to bring money.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be much more apt to talk to us then.
That's it. And I don't know. I mean, after all the people that you've spoken with, that you've interviewed, do you find it daunting? Do you get to that point you're like, I don't want to talk to this guy.
No. Gotta go talk to Neil.
Oh, I gotta go talk to Neil again.
I mean, maybe there's a little bit of that because, as we've stated a few times now, you don't know who you're gonna get. But I don't know. It's just fun to make people that don't want to talk to you
talk
to you.
Uh-huh.
And I won't pay a single dime to make you talk to me.
No. I mean, I'm at the point. In fact, I have not really spent any money in Artist Row. My statue guy is not here, so I have not bought a statue, which is the first time in Denver Comic Con history that I have not gone home with a statue. And the one that I was going to buy is gone because they had the white power battery for $200. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to come back and buy it. Yeah, it was gone. I was like, that's too good of a price. So it was gone.
So no purchases at all?
No purchases. Wow. No, okay, can't say that. I did go buy the Lego table, and I bought a couple minifigs.
Okay.
Because they had a Silver Surfer, a Colossus, and a Nightcrawler. I'm like, done.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay.
If you're, I mean, if you're already clicking that kind of stuff, then that's perfect.
Yeah. You know, but that's knick-knacky. I mean, that's right. Nowhere near what I normally spend. I mean, hundreds, usually. And it's $10.
Right.
I feel like I'm failing.
But when you leave and you have all this extra money for highballs and nightcaps.
No, we got smart. We brought booze this time.
Oh.
Adult size sippy cup. Let me introduce you.
Oh. Yes, not the clear bottle.
Not the clear bottle, but the adult size sippy cup.
What are you drinking? Apple juice?
Yes. Yes. Aged.
Aged
apple juice.
Aged apple
very
juice.
Very fermented.
Totally fermented.
Aged to perfection.
So yes. Now are you going to be returning back to San Diego this year? I saw a snippet on your Facebook page.
I almost missed out the opportunity to go. Got approved by the same people that got me approved last year.
Right.
Big thanks to them. But then I'm an idiot. And I booked a flight and I got distracted
by the Rapids girl too.
Booked the flight and did the time off from work a week after San Diego Comic Con.
Oh.
So long story short, flight got corrected, no penalty, and work got my time off corrected, essentially with no penalty as well.
Nice.
So I will be returning to San Diego Comic Con for a second year.
So you're going to be broadcasting.
I hope to have Twitch account set up by next month.
So when you got out to San Diego, because I've been there pre and post 2000,
okay.
And I refuse to go back unless they invite me.
Okay.
Because it is such a goat's screw.
I'll make sure to mention your name.
You should, yeah. Yeah, no, you know, you guys should have 5280 Geek Guide here because they love this place. That'll open doors right there.
You fit right in at a C-level convention.
It's I do. How is it? I mean, because it is a cluster. What is your plan of attack when you go to San Diego? Because it's spread across, what, 3 city blocks now?
More than that. My plan, I walked in, and I looked at my plan, and I tore it up. Because
this is going to be confusing already.
Because I don't know. Yeah. I've never been to the show, so I have no idea what the layout is, right? I don't know where anybody is.
Right.
And then once I find them, I'm going to want to sit and chat with them for a little while, and then that's taken away from time to adventuring and finding other things.
Exploring.
By day 4, the other guy and myself were finding aisles we had not even looked at yet.
Wow.
Having that press access changes a lot of things. You have full access at San Diego Comic-Con, which has worked out really well when I walked in randomly to the CW's press junket.
Oh, that works out well.
And that was awesome. And I got to talk to Stephen Amell. I
like Stephen.
Yeah, he
owns a vineyard.
He does.
Stephen Amell.
Yeah, Arrow.
He was here last year, wasn't he?
Two years ago. He brought Katie Lotz with him.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, because I went to his panel on that one.
Do you remember during the panel when somebody asked Katie Lotz, what are your character's plans for next year?
And she paused before
she answered. And I looked at our other counterpart, Katie, and I was like, she's going to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make peace
with
the
somewhat, guy. Somewhat died.
Somewhat. Well, yeah. Somewhat died. But
yeah, we won't go into the particulars.
The particulars. You know, spoiler alerts.
Spoiler alerts.
For season 2 of a show.
So, with that in mind, sorry, next podcast coming
up. Yes.
What's next?
As far as
plans. Yeah, I mean, If we haven't even introduced your podcast, and I apologize, because your podcast is Point of Interest.
The Points of Interest Podcast Network.
And you have hosted some very impressive podcasts, and I tip my hat to you, sir, because you have done, when we first met, you have come light years beyond what even my expectations, because let's face it, podcasters in business are a bit flaky.
They can be, yeah.
And you have exceeded my goals, and I want to commend you for a fabulous job, both of you, in the media world. So what's next on the agenda? What, how, where? Because you're building an empire. You're even running a con now. You're part of... You guys get flown out to, what was it, Philly?
Yeah, Philadelphia. That's right. Philadelphia Comic Con. That's where he goes.
That's where he goes. And I was like, oh, my God. I was so impressed and proud of you. And I'm just like, you know what, Josh? Good on you, mate. Good fucking on you. That is just brilliant.
You know, it's come a long way from three dudes standing... sitting around a rock band microphone recording into recording into something that wasn't even Audacity and then throwing that on up onto some like WordPress site that really wasn't even built to do podcasting. Well, here we are, 2009 to 2017, what is that, almost 8 years, and what's next? I don't know. Twitch, I guess. More mobile setups, more video. I don't know. The opportunities are all out there. It's what do you want to try? Because that's what this all is.
It is.
I've gotten to this point by trying and failing at 100 other different things. You know, when I'm gonna toot my own horn.
Please do. I do it all the time, daily.
Well, I know, but you're Smurf. I'm Josh. Right. Yeah. Another convention, we won't mention names.
No.
Right, to be fair. But another convention runner walked up to me yesterday and said, we need to talk about your moderating duties. And you still want to do a panel? And looked at my mom, who I brought to the convention yesterday. Well,
your mom is wonderful. I love your mom.
Hashtag bring your moms to cons.
They buy you lunch.
They do.
It's that inert ability of mothering and like, you need to eat. Yes. You're not eating enough. I'm worried about you.
But the showrunner looked at my mother and said, you did good with this one.
Aww. So that's a proud moment. Because your mom is wonderful, and I love talking to her. And she just gets this wide-eyed child look when she's wandering around the floor. And it comes across in her child. It's wonderful.
It's just something I'm fairly good at. I love doing it.
You excel at it.
Thank you. I get to have my little narcissistic hour that... In my rants and everything else that I don't do in my normal day-to-day job or life, you know? Yeah, so here works. I get to be a bit of a star, whatever. People know me. I'm kind of important to somebody, I'm sure.
There is quite the feeling of when you show up and someone is harassing you and a manager sees you and they're like, no, let him in. And you're trying to play by the rules, and it's that moment of gratification, like, okay, what I do does matter. Yeah. And it is,
you know,
awesome.
And, you know, we sit here and we say, nobody watches these Facebook Live videos. Nobody listens to these podcasts. It's all bullshit. Because when I walked into Starfest earlier this year, the first 2 hours I spent were me being congratulated by other people.
For Philly.
And I'm just like, I was just there to do what I do. Like, it's just crazy.
It is.
And you know, I'm proud of my team as a whole. I'm proud of individuals. I mean, Che isn't the most talkative person sometimes, but we get him going sometimes. And
we get him wound up with some sugar and some booze and whole shitballs. Maybe. Back.
But
we'll get a little weed in his system, too. And beyond.
But it's gone from three dudes that ran and worked in a video game store together to
meeting
people all over the damn world at this point and connecting with them in a network and
taking over the world.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, if you need someone on that panel you're moderating, by all means, please.
Yes.
I would be more than happy to lend my
expertise. I have already thought of I have a few ideas, actually, already.
Excellent.
Once we hit stop, I'll fill you in.
All right. Well, we should probably go. I got my next podcast coming up. Jerry Mulligawai will be joining us shortly. So by all means, keep tuned in, because it won't be on this podcast, but it will be following. Jerry's a local artist who is oh my God, from a year ago when I met him at Starfest, has gone light years again, jumping hurdles similar to you, and his art is on fire. He actually decorated the glass to Mile High Comics over on Colorado Boulevard. And from just a year ago, his love for Amazons and his weird little fixation with Wonder Woman, which we'll explore. So that'll be coming up. But you guys, thank you very much. Anything, how can the home players keep up with you, follow you? Where do they need to go to do the hashtag, the tweets, and the Facebook?
Well, I'm just going to say pointsofinterest@podcast.com.
Come on. Whoa. No, I want to do that again. Give us some body. Give us some swagger.
Shay, do you even are you on social media outside of Facebook?
I'm kind of out of social media right now. So.
All right. Well, give us a little swagger. Come on.
So points of interest.
There we go. Yeah.
You can find
Points of Interest Podcast Network.
You can find everything that we do at the Points of Interest Podcast.com. You can find me on the Twitters at 303_ninja and all over the Points of Interest Podcast Network, which Twitter is POI Podcast. We're all about synergy over there. And you could
synergy and toast.
Yes. You can email us at pointsofinterestpodcast@gmail.com. You can even leave us a voicemail if you wanted to.
Wow. Yes. A call in line. I like that.
You can leave that voicemail at 314-764
Oh, he forgot. Better look it up.
You hit the upright on that one, because I'm going to be drunk dialing the shit out of that one.
So 314-POI-POD-1.
Excellent.
All right.
Gentlemen, thank you for sitting in. It's a pleasure as always. Wait to see you next time we clash and end up on a podcast together, because in the end, we're all stories. So make it a good one.